This is Casey Dobson, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. The story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. For the first time since 2019, there will officially be an Isabel Cup champion. While this should have happened back in February, the forced suspension of the NWHL bubble made it unsure when we would next see someone raise the trophy. The original plan was for the league to play 24 games in 14 days, but the bubble burst after only 15 games. The league did say they intended to finish the bubble and its playoffs when action was paused, but the pandemic's unpredictability made it hard to be optimistic. Until now. The NWHL made it official by announcing the playoffs would go down on March 26th and 27th in Brighton, Massachusetts. Both semifinals will happen on March 26th, with the final being played the next day. The Toronto Six will take on the Boston Pride, while the Minnesota Whitecaps will face off against the Buffalo Buttes. I spoke with Toronto Six goaltender Elaine Chooley about her reaction to the news of the rescheduled playoffs.
Yeah, I was super excited. Obviously, we had a good momentum going in Lake Placid, so we were sad that we couldn't finish the tournament. But yeah, we're super excited and looking forward to heading to Boston.
As per the original deal, NBCSN will air all three games live to their American audience, while Canadian fans will be able to watch via Twitch. Commissioner Tamina said the league is grateful to those who have supported the game and their quest to finish the cup. Here are Chooley's thoughts regarding NBCSN agreeing to honor their broadcast deal.
I think it's super awesome for women's hockey, and it was unfortunate that we couldn't, get to that point back in February there in Lake Placid. So we're super, super grateful that we get another opportunity to be on NBC and be able to showcase to everyone, our product and what we've been building.
With the Six headed into these playoffs as the number one seed, let's recap their journey here. They entered the bubble as extreme underdogs, not only because they're the new kids on the block, but because Canadian regulations on group activity limited the team to only a small handful of practices as a full group before they left for Lake Placid. Here's what Chooley had to say about being the underdogs headed into the bubble.
We hadn't been together much as a team leading up to the bubble, which, it's obviously different practicing with 10 people on the ice than your full team. So yeah, it was different. I think it took us a couple games to kind of get our legs going. But then after that, it was, we were just getting better each game and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I definitely think, on paper, I don't know. I didn't really think about being the underdog, to be honest. But I mean, we had nothing to lose. We were a new team and we were excited to just get going.
It looked like the underdog narrative would come true after the Six lost both of their first two games. Most notably was their shootout loss to the Minnesota Whitecaps after being up 5-1. But things turned around quickly. After those first two losses, the team rattled off four consecutive wins with relative ease. This winning streak prompted head coach Digit Murphy to say that her team was feared because of what they brought to the bubble. The Six's bench boss describes her team's brand of hockey as fun, fast, and furious. Here's how Elaine Chooley would describe her team's style of play.
I'll have to take one of Digit's quotes. She always tells us to flex and flow. So I don't know. We kind of just took whatever the game gave us and, we ended up coming out on top. I think we just adapted well as we kind of got to know each other better. And I think we play quick. We get a lot of shots on net. So yeah, I think we're a tough team to play against.
I also asked Chooley what changed between the opening losses and the four straight wins in terms of the team's mindset.
Definitely in the first game there, the first period, we were really on our heels in New York. Or Metropolitan there really took it to us. So I think it was just kind of getting the nerves out. And we had a lot of younger players too that came out of college and now they're playing in a new league. I think just kind of getting more used to and more comfortable. And then we just, started playing with confidence from there. That just really helped us improve and got us those wins.
With Toronto likely to be missing a few players due to them not being able to take the additional 2 weeks off of work for the mandated government quarantine upon return to the country, it's hard to pinpoint exactly how the team will look, but fans can be assured that the Six are headed to Brighton with their sights set on the cup. Murphy said the team will take the ice with a different game plan, but one that will continue to show they belong there. The consensus across the board is that the fact that the league was able to schedule the semifinals and final games at all is pivotal to their success going forward. As explored in previous episodes, the perception of the NWHL took a hit after the bubble failed, with some journalists even questioning how the league could remain viable. I asked Chooley how she felt about the importance of the league being able to reschedule these playoffs.
Just goes to show the people that we have behind the league and behind the scenes, running the show. I definitely don't think they wanted to not hand out the Isabel Cup for the second season in a row. So that's definitely huge and just shows, you know, how adaptable they were to make these changes. And, you know, things didn't go as we planned in Lake Placid. Well, it did. It was a great time. And I just mean like the final outcome we didn't get. So I'm super excited that they were able to quickly, you know, put together a safe plan for us to get back and finish it.
But beyond this, what's next for the NWHL and women's hockey as a whole? Currently, the future is murky at best because of the existence and tension of the two separate entities for women's pro hockey in North America, the PWHPA and the NWHL. The PWHPA has around 175 members, including some of the top players like Kendall Coyne Schofield and Marie-Philippe Poulet. The organization has boycotted playing in any league until their demands are met. Instead, they have gone on their Dream Gap tours. These are barnstormer-style events across the states and Canada where players can showcase their skills in exhibitions, do community engagement, and run youth clinics. They've recently gone on the second iteration of the tour, with games being broadcast on national networks. Speaking on the second tour, Jaina Hefford admitted that they would have loved for the Dream Gap Tour to be a one-year thing, but to have imagined that their demands could have been met within a single year was unrealistic from the outset. Hefford, who oversees the PWHPA, says her organization is headed in the right direction. As for the NWHL, they've been making changes to their operations so as to stay viable, especially since the ending of the CWHL. These moves have included the increased salary cap, as well as splitting media and sponsorship deals 50-50 with their athletes. Players who chose to play in the NWHL say that they see it as the most viable path to play professional hockey moving forward. Boston Pride's head coach Paul Mara sees women's hockey riding a wave of momentum, one he credits being started by the U.S. women's national team winning gold at the 2018 Olympics. He followed it up by saying that he sees players choosing not to play as sad, especially since they're sitting out in hopes for something that, in his opinion, is currently unattainable. In terms of where the two sides are at with each other, things are pretty cut and dry. While both organizations share a goal of a viable pro league for female hockey players, one where everyone can make a living wage, the agreements end there. Both have the same destination in mind, they just have entirely opposing ideas on how to get there. Hefford says her organization doesn't see the NWHL as a competitor, just another party involved in the same business. Knowing that this is the point of view from the top of the organization down helps explain the friendships that exist between the players in both the PWHPA and the NWHL. As for the top of the NWHL, for that matter, things are far less friendly. Miles Arnon, the lead investor behind the ownership group of the Boston Pride, has been quoted as saying that the PWHPA's objective was to obliviate the NWHL and to cause it to fold. Despite in-depth research, I could not find any evidence to support Arnon's statement. Hefford stands firm in her organization's desire to see everyone have the opportunity to succeed in the ways that they want to, but they don't see it as a competition piece, despite the fact that a lot of people do. So, what other options are there? The most notable alternative to the two North American organizations would be the WHL, that is teams in Russia and China. Former CWHLers have moved out to that league, namely Alex Carpenter and Nora Ratti. While yes, there are leagues in Europe, this league should be of particular interest to North American fans because of the support it receives from the men's league operating in the same area. The relationship between the Continental Hockey League, or KHL, and the WHL looks nearly identical to what the PWHPA is wanting with the NHL. The KHL has shared its resources with the Women's League since 2015, including trainers, arenas, and even promotion. The WHL is often on KHL TV, which would be the equivalent to the NHL Network. Carpenter has even come out and said that she makes a living wage playing in the WHL, one that would also be considered a living wage in the States or Canada. The big question is where the NHL stands on all of this. They have long said that they don't want to be involved with women's hockey so long as other pro opportunities exist. That doesn't mean that they haven't taken some steps, all of which are relatively recent, to highlight women in hockey, namely at their All-Star weekends. They've featured Coyne Schofield in the fastest skater competition in the San Jose edition, and the next year they had scheduled a 3-on-3 exhibition series at the St. Louis All-Star weekend. Hockey legend Wayne Gretzky offered his thoughts on the situation, saying that exposure is everything, and while those moves were baby steps, it was incredibly important that there's an understanding from the NHL that male players want to help grow the game of women's hockey. It's safe to say that the future of women's hockey isn't crystal clear, but at least it's ensured that the game has a future and that the NWHL bubble is just the beginning of this new wave. This is Casey Dobson, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. The story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Thank you so much for tuning in to every episode of our women's hockey series, looking at the NWHL, the Toronto Six, and so much more.